Hello and welcome back to another, well, to part two of Oso Negro stories or adventures, let's just say, because it was a good time this week. We have celebrated Frankie's 60th today. Big party, big live music. But I think the star of the day was brisket cook-off. Four briskets, legit competition with multiple categories. And we have a couple of judges here. We have a couple of contestants here. And then everyone who enjoyed multiple versions of a brisket. So let's get to it. Brisket cook-off. We have Jay on the mic, who almost, she at 11 years old, wrangled everybody together, organized this competition, and really took charge of everybody. So that's great. We have Taylor to my left, who, if we all remember stories from Ten Domingo,
legendary
episode of the Irreverent Show, and Junior for the first time on the show. Willing, I don't know, but they gave you a mic. So four briskets. Let's get to what's the behind the scenes. What happened during the deliberations, during the setting up of this competition? What's going on, Jay?
So it started off as just them making the briskets and it just being a brisket competition and people tasting them. And then we made judges, and it first started off as like four or five, and then like six, and then seven judges came together. And we came together to make a board for everyone else who wasn't a judge to, like,
The people's choice
to, like, figure out, like, which one was better from their eyes. And then the judges came together before and like, tasted all the meats. But it was all anonymous, and we didn't know which one was which. And it was one, two, three, or four. And it took, like, a while, like 30 minutes, I think, maybe. It took a while, lots of deciding and writing down numbers and then changing them again.
Can you give a little background on what you had to rate on?
The categories were a smoke ring, bark, tenderness, and flavor.
All right. I'll tell you, they were all great.
Oh yeah.
Personally,
nobody lost.
No one lost.
Yeah.
We all won.
Yeah. Yeah. We all won today.
We have the Irreverent Show's own Malfred was a contestant. I know Malfred loves
judge.
I'm sorry. Was a judge, and I know Malfred loves food. and this is not a fat joke. It's not a fat joke, but I know we go out often and we judge menus. We go, this was good, this was bad. First time as a judge at a food contest competition. What do you think?
Well, you know me. I try to go all the way, so I wanted to be the Gordon Ramsay of this judging crew. Judge them harshly, and it was good. To be fair, all four were great. And it was just a few points that made the difference between the difference. There was a few curveballs, different strategies were taken. All four chefs used four different methods. They did their own seasoning. We easily did, 60-something pounds of brisket just today?
A lot of brisket. Who won, Jay? Who won the competition?
So there was a winner for each category. And then there was a winner for the People's Choice, winner for the judges, and then the overall winner. Overall winner was number four, yeah. Right? Number four. And that was Jose. And Second place was
Evan.
Number one, which was Evan for in second place, runner up. So
they were all good.
They were all good.
I mean, we can't say that enough. I'm having a sandwich with number two, and it's great.
Yeah, it was good.
The competition was you know, the fun aspect of being here and celebrating Frankie's 60th. And yesterday we kind of touched upon it, but we did what wisdom, and we kind of skirted and went around. But today's topic is, what have we learned in 60 years? We're not going to start with you.
Yeah, no.
But since there's various ages at the table, let's get different perspectives on that. And we'll start with Jay. We'll work, you know, this way or whatever. Jay, at 11 years old, what have you learned about life, about navigating, you know, your everyday life in school and friends, and, you know, what have you learned?
I've learned a lot. It's kind of like a lot for, like, different parts of life. For school, it's just kind of, you got to focus and, like, do your stuff. Friends, just, like, be, like, nice and, like, be a good friend. And for life in general, it's just have a good life.
Hey, man, that's pretty solid.
Yeah. Words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Just have a good life.
Have a good life.
Yeah.
Junior?
18.
Oh, boy, I don't know where to start.
She's been in college.
But... Well, I've learned how to use a dryer sheets in the dryer. I don't know what those are for. Yeah, I do not eat the Tide Pods. Those don't taste very good.
From experience.
I've learned how to carry all the groceries down in one trip from my car. And what else? Not really much else, I guess.
Really? That's it? In 18 years? That's what you learned?
Those are the very important
things.
It's all you know for college.
Important things.
All right. Taylor?
My God.
28 years?
28 years. Almost 30, you know? Just rounding up. I've learned not to take things too seriously. And the kind of, like, it's okay to just, like, say you don't want to do anything anymore and, like, restart your life, or, like, just change what you were on the track you're on and just do what you want to do. Whatever's going to make you happy, just go for it. If you don't change it now, are you going to change it in 20 years? It's not worth it at that point. You know, like, why not just start now? So I think I've learned a lot. I'm glad I've learned a lot. Just follow your instinct and your gut and do whatever makes you happy.
I like it. Frankie?
What makes you happy?
Well, for,
you know,
what makes you happy is the question.
There's a lot that makes me happy.
Okay.
Shopping. Shopping makes me really happy. If I had an unlimited budget, wow. I think I'd be the happiest person in the world. I think my friendships make me really happy. Having friends, I realize that, like, I thought I could be independent and solo dolo for a little bit. And I did one weekend alone, and I was like, oh my God, this is awful. I can absolutely not be without friends. So, like, friendships and, like, just people close to you and that make you happy and want to have fun too, you know? I don't know. Those things make me happy. What makes you happy?
Oh, what?
60 years. Yeah, 60 years.
And 60 more.
So yeah, that one of the things you learn is you're happy to get to 60. That's kind of good. At 60, you're probably not going to have hair. Learn that. But I guess the biggest thing is I was 11 once. And so I get what Jay's saying about being 11. You're kind of focused on the things that are important in your life at 11, which is you have to make grades, because if you don't make grades, you can't go do fun stuff. It's just the way it goes. You've got to pay your dues, right? So at 11 years old, you pay those dues. And then you get to 18, and you're still a kid. You still have a mom who worries about you every day, what you're doing, what you're doing wrong, what you should be doing, what you're not doing. That's what moms do when you're 18. And so at 18, you're trying to navigate, okay, so what is it I'm supposed to be doing? Well, I'm not supposed to eat Tide Pods. That's important. And I do have to do my own laundry, because if I don't, I'm not going to have clean clothes to wear, because mommy's not here to wash them. And if I want to eat, I really probably should learn how to cook, because I can't eat out every day. And girls are there, so you got to navigate the whole girl thing. And that was, for me, that was really short and sweet. I met my first girl, and that was it, and I was done. And that was my girl. But for a lot of people, it doesn't roll that way. They've got to go through life testing the waters and finding that person. And some people don't get it right the first time. I was really lucky. I got that right the first time. So my teenage years were a little bit different from other people, because I was an old man already, because I kind of like jumped all those steps, not because of me, but because of Pammy. I found the right person. And so that person kind of carried me through the next little while. And so Taylor's 35. Ish.
I'm sorry, what?
You're not 35?
Oh my God.
28.
Oh my God, 30?
I don't know.
Who's, I'm kind of offended. 28. You're making it sound like 35.
30. She said 30.
Yeah. I said I'm almost 30. I'm 30, 28.
Okay. And so.
She's making 35 sound like it's over.
Well, no.
Years.
Okay, so she's 28 going on 30. Did I say that?
Yeah,
that was right there.
Right.
Okay, so.
I played my 30th birthday. I'm very proud of it.
And so, Taylor.
Wedding reception for one.
Taylor's kind of in a different place right now. She hasn't found the right guy, because she's got very high standards, and I think that's great. You got to have standards for guys and for girls too. So, for you guys that are 18 and 11, you know, you got to be a little bit picky. Play the field, but you got to be picky when it comes time to settle down.
Yeah,
but
don't be picky now. Be picky when you're 28.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so it's really strange how you work through all these stages in your life. My career was kind of different. You know, I did things for 15 years. You know, I trained athletes and traveled all over the country and went to college for that, and it was fun. But then I realized that I wasn't making any money. It was a lot of fun, but I didn't make a lot of money. And so I changed careers midstream. Started doing something totally different, something that I never thought I'd do, but it's something I'm doing now, and I enjoy it. Is it my passion? Not necessarily, but it's different. And so your life will change. Things come up and circumstances change, so you have to be ready to kind of change the way you approach your life, because it's not going to stay the same. Obviously, at 11, 18, 28, going on 30, life changes, and so you confront all these experiences along the way, and then you get to 60 and you go, how did I get here? How did that happen? You know, 60 years? How? Because in my head, I'm still a little bit of 11. Not quite so much, but a little bit 11. Some 18. A lot of 28, believe it or not. I'm still young enough at heart that I just want to experience new things and different things. But at 60, you have enough wisdom to go, yeah, no, you can't do that anymore. Okay, that's off the table. That was when you were 28. Now you're 60. You got to kind of pick and choose what you're going to do. And so what have I learned? What's the wisdom? Life changes. Changes every day. And as you get older, you think it changes faster. It's like the years go by so fast. And it's not that you're getting older. It's just that more things are happening in your life. You're not so focused on just one thing. You're living every day. You're experiencing stuff every day, different things. And so the time just kind of goes by, and one thing leads to another, and there you are. And so you know, when I lost Pammy, the one thing I just kind of sat back and thought about it, and I said, what's really important with life? I mean, what do you really need to do? What's life really all about? And it's two things. Live and love. It's as simple as that. You have to live your life, whatever that is. And it's not the same any given day, any given year, but you're always living. You don't let things hold you back. You don't let things stop you. You don't ever stop looking forward, because that's when you lose, is when you stop looking forward. Because there's still a lot of life out there to live, so you got to keep looking forward. Behind all that is love. The people that are around you are the most important thing in your life. Life means nothing without love. And the people that love you can be, obviously, your family. They're the closest one, and when the shit hits the fan, that's your fallback. But you also have a circle of friends. And you only need to have one really good friend that if something happens, you can call that person, and they're going to answer the phone, and whatever you need, they're going to show up. So you have to live your life. And that means go out and experience things. Go out and try things. Go out and do things differently. Take a chance. You know, you're not living unless you're taking a chance every day to try something different, to be something different. And so with Pammy, I got really comfortable because things were really great. I was happy with the way my life was going. I was happy with my career. We were together. It was good. It was really good. And then so that came to a halt. And it's like, okay, so that's ended now. So where am I at? Well, you know, I'm 57 years old when she passed. And I've only known one thing for 40 years. Pammy. That's it. That's what I've known. And my family. And so now you got to go back and go, man, who the hell am I? Who am I really as a person? And it's a hard question to ask, because for 40 years, you were Frank and Pam. That's who you were. And so at some point, you get to the point, you got to go, okay, so now that part of my life is gone. It's done. It's not forgotten or anything like that. It's just that's ended. And so you have to start over and say, okay, what's the next 60 years going to look like? You have to get past the grief and all those things that you have to get past to start focusing. And so you can't focus on any of that until you're right in your head. And that takes time. It takes whatever time it's going to take. For some people, it's a year, or three, five, seven, whatever it is. But you have to get to that point to where you go, okay, I'm okay with where I'm at today. Today's all right. Now I can start focusing on what's tomorrow going to be, and the next day, the next 5 years. What is it that I really want? How am I going to move forward? What am I going to experience? What am I looking for? And that's kind of fun, because you don't really know. And so now I'm 11 again, right? Because I've got to try and really sit down and say, okay, so I need to build a new circle of friends or whatever, and I've got to go out and experience new things, different things. I don't know what those things are. And so you have to pick something to start. You got to do something. And I think that's the hardest part, is taking that step and say, okay, I'm ready to start. And so this year I made that choice. I said, you know, I'm ready to take that step. And so that's okay. And if that's all I do from 60 to 61, that's okay. I've made the choice. Now it's a question of rediscovery, of redefining who I am and what am I going to do?
How do you go about doing something like that? Because as someone who, I understand when you say I met the right person, I met this, that's my situation. You know, even when we were broken up for the 2 years and I dated around, it was always like, yeah, this is okay, but it's not what I know was the one. So how do you go about searching yourself after that? Like after...
It's really weird. You just got to... I kind of go... The only way I could do it to start is to go back to when I was 14, 15 and look at the things that I liked to do then that I didn't necessarily do because I started a life with somebody, right? And so it kind of changes your direction. You've got a new rudder now, and that rudder takes you a certain direction, and that's where you got to go. And so now you got to go back and go, okay, let's pause that 40 years in the middle, go back to 14, 15, 16, and try and discover what are the things that I really, really enjoyed doing when I was that age, and say, okay, that's a good place to start. And I don't know where that's going to lead, but at least you can kind of rewind and say, all right, it's like you have 19 paths in your life, and life kind of presented itself this direction, and so you kind of went that way. But it doesn't mean it can't go this way or that way or the other way. There's lots of paths you can take. You just got to figure out, okay, I'm going to start. And it doesn't necessarily mean that this next one's a straight line. It's just a start. We'll see what it brings. We'll see what it brings.
It's great. It's clear to life.
That's kind of the way it works.
If you're 60, that's 49 years from now.
Yeah.
Where do you think you're going to be at 60?
I don't know. When I'm older, I don't know what I want to do. I just want to be
Well, if you want to be honest, I really am excited for retirement. I'm going to wear matching outfits with matching visors. I'm going to be at the yacht club because I'm marrying rich. And then drinking Chardonnay at 11 a.m. That's where I see myself at 60. I truly see myself that at 31. So, but in a tennis skirt. So we'll see. Putting it out there.
At 50 years old.
At 50.
Not 60. Yeah. 50. I think. Truly. I think that's a better.
At any point, I am ready for this life.
Any point.
I'm at the yacht club in a tennis skirt, sipping Chardonnay, like the visor. I'm ready. I'll be retired tomorrow.
I'll tell you, your Instagram is the funnest thing to do because you're always like friends hanging out together or we're at the bar and it's always like, man, it's just like a constant, like we're just living, like that's.
Are you talking about last weekend? Last weekend was rough.
Well,
for
that
me.
Was. I mean, I did. Yeah, I mean that's the.
I was actually
that's
really
the earliest
disappointed
reference.
In myself. I've only been in this town for 4 months, and the bartender recognized my name. And I've only been in this bar for 2 weeks.
Oh, hey, you're back.
Oh, Miss Alvarez, welcome back. I have your card memorized.
I mean, he may be stealing your identity, but you know, it's. We'll look at it like he just knows you.
But it's exciting,
well,
yeah. You know. Gotta live life.
It's true.
Let's get Christina's perspective.
Christina, at 60 years old, how do you see yourself? I agree. And for those who are wondering, Christina, she works so hard. I was telling her, I was like, doesn't it feel good to just let loose, no work? And she's like, yeah. She's like, and I told her, like, you work so hard, you know, so you need these weekends. Christina, how do you see yourself in 5 days?
Not like that again.
I agree. It was brought up that maybe a cooking competition should be done every year.
Jalen, actually.
Really? So Jalen brought that up.
So when we were actually judging the brisket, we were talking about doing it every year. It's like a tradition. So either chicken wings, like either on 4th of July or on Tio Frank's birthday, in different meats, like chicken wings.
That's
what I was saying.
Likes
I
went
with the chicken tender idea, personally.
A couple of years ago.
100%.
A couple of years ago, I brought up, I think when we were still doing Coral Sands, I said, let's do grilled cheese competition. Oh, yeah. And Mike was like, I'm going to win. And I said, I mean, okay, I get it. You're classically trained, but grilled cheese competition.
But are we going to do like classic, like grilled cheese,
no.
cheddar cheese? Could I throw in some brie and some honey?
I love grilled cheese sandwiches, but... No. You go, there's the classic. I think it's the four brisket story. We had three pretty traditional briskets, and then we had one who said, I'm going to try something different. And everyone said flavor. I saw the tallies. Flavor was really high. So everyone was
peaked. I
want to
know your criteria is for grilled cheese sandwiches.
You get you make a sandwich.
Butter,
but there's a base of cheese. Everything
so you're
else,
like bread quality. Like, is it sourdough?
It doesn't matter. Like, no. The criteria is it has to be sandwiches, like a bread, two breads and cheese.
But I'm saying grilled. we had is it smoked? Is it smoky?
Have you guys? No. Time out. Hold on. Have you guys never had grilled cheese sandwiches with chicken in it or like? Bacon?
Bacon's one thing.
So again, but that's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying, what are your categories here? It's like for judging. Is it going to be like bread thickness, like
okay, hold
cheesy
on, hold on.
Rareness?
Okay, Stefano, presentation is one. Crunchiness?
The toast
on the bread. The toast on the bread.
Can't be too undercooked.
And originality. Originality.
Creativity.
Stefano said he has a...
Just to clarify, my disclaimer is I'm not a culinary professional advisor here. I don't have prior experience, but what I will say is you're taking what we've experienced today, and what we're gonna experience with the grilled cheese, is a contest not just with the best food, but amongst where you're producing for a big quantity of people. Plus, taking a ration out of that big quantity of production and entering it into a contest of who delivers the best food. So basically, the contest is also including subliminally the best production of quantity food. Because when you think of a grilled cheese and you put the bread on the grill, Jose, correct me if I'm wrong. You put the cheese on the bread, you smack the bread other piece on, and you make your grilled cheese. So when you have a whole flat top, as in this culinary one behind me, you have the whole motherfucking thing filled like I've seen Jose do before, and literally produce every piece the same for the whole fucking party. Now, how can you guarantee the crispiness of the bread as one of the criteria breakdowns as a top-notch delivering category, because you're fucking flipping 15, 20 motherfucking pieces of bread
Michael
at a time.
You know, but he makes a good point. I understand what he's saying. So no, I understand what Stefano's saying. I think you make one or two judge sandwiches. And then you're focusing less on presentation and more on flavor because that's what regular people are focusing on, which again proves to the point of today's brisket cook-off.
But I think you're missing something.
Yeah.
If you make a grilled cheese sandwich on a flat top, it's going to be different than a grilled cheese sandwich made in a Teflon pan. Or different than a grilled cheese sandwich made on an ironing board with an iron.
Who's doing
that?
College
students. No, Junior is doing that. Junior.
Have you guys ever seen Benny and June?
That's what they do at university.
Has nobody seen Benny and June? So in the movie Benny and June, they don't cook in their, they have an ironing board and they're making their grilled cheese sandwiches with the iron on the ironing board and they're pressing, they're grilling it with the iron. And you, well, you think about it, it's brilliant, right? Because you're controlling it, temperature, steam,
silk.
Right. I mean, you have all these different settings, right? So you're opening it up to, I mean, think about it. I mean, you get your high heat settings, you get your rayon settings. I mean, what works best?
But why? Okay, so but why are we overthinking a grilled cheese sandwich? This is a good question.
But this is a good question, but things that are simple can be very complex, right? A brisket is simple, right? It's a piece of chunk of meat you throw on a grill. Simple enough, right?
Yeah.
Throw it on there. But yet, look how complex it was. You had four different ways it was cooked, four different seasoning profiles.
I truly don't think there's anything easy about a brisket. I don't know what you're coming up with that.
Right, but you look at it from the 10,000 foot view and you go, it's a piece of meat, you season it, you throw it on a grill.
Yeah. Well, looking
back. Simple enough, right? Grilled cheese sandwich. Two pieces of bread, cheese, throw it on a grill. But if you cook it 4 seconds too long, it's a little burnt, tastes like shit, right? You cook it 20 seconds too short, it's still greasy and buttery and there's no crispiness to it. So you can't always look at things, although they seem simple, in those simple forms, because it's not simple,
which is a good life lesson also too.
Absolutely. Jay, how would you go about making a grilled cheese sandwich
at 11?
I would butter it. Butter the bread. All right. And then I put it on the stove in a pan. Sometimes I accidentally do it backwards, but most of the time. But I put it on, and then I put a piece of cheese on it, and then...
One piece?
Yeah. Only one piece, because one piece. I'm not really a cheese person.
But... Okay.
How
many pieces of cheese do you put on? One or two?
One.
Three.
One.
Two. One.
Two.
One.
Ah. If you put one piece of cheese, you're a psychopath.
How simple is it?
What?
There's four different
maybe one and a half.
One and a half.
But
half.
I...
Okay.
One is too little.
Fuck. It was Stephanie, you really brought up
one and a half
conundrum.
Yeah. That's what I like to do.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, because in my mind, like, and the reason that it originally came to mind was because at Coral Sands, they have that...
The grilled cheese place. Yeah,
right?
So good.
But again, it's not just bread and cheese. There's other ingredients to make them gourmet, right?
Caramelized onions.
That's what I'm thinking, you know?
So good.
But when you really boil it down to the simple terms, my God, it's not simple at all.
So,
because of the fact that you're making it a thing, right? You know, a family tradition or competition or... event, you really get your mind going. Like Jose featured all the different ways of cooking, but Taylor featured all the different ways of additives. So you think of the tomatoes, the soup. Are you gonna like what the fuck? You know, there's so many different avenues. The way you can actually cook it and produce it, and the actual way that you're gonna put it together with the ingredients side. So, you know, I think this could be a thing and it could be.
Yeah. No, let's go ahead. Go ahead.
Something to consider.
But I think we should ask Christina what she thinks about how she should make a grilled cheese sandwich.
Hey, Christina, what you think about it all?
Okay. Well,
I mean, she said it all.
One slice.
She said it all.
It's
I mean, I think I...
Perfect grilled cheese.
Right? So, there we have it.
I think she said it all.
So
she's a natural. She's a natural.
But wait. But wait. So we're missing... So, you're 18, you're in college. About the only damn thing you can eat is ramen noodles, grilled cheese, and a hot dog. So, at 18 in college, how would you make a grilled cheese? Wait, but how would you make a grilled cheese?
I eat roasted chicken every day.
Well, Junior, what college are you in?
UF.
UF, okay.
So, a grilled cheese, it's quite simple. You get two slices of bread. Mm-hmm. You put butter on them, toast them on a pan. Put your two slices of cheese.
What goes first, though?
Into the microphone.
What goes first? I haven't made a grilled cheese forever, but normally I just...
Whoa. You're a college student. What do you eat?
Normally just chicken, rice, beans.
Yeah, college students...
If you had a choice...
We're a freshman 15, bro.
He gained it in height.
Yeah.
And shoe size. But you know what? For someone who didn't experience that, I'm going to a college. Do you live at UF or you travel? You reside at UF or you commute?
Yeah, I'm like a minute away in like a student apartment housing.
I didn't do that, right? So if you had a choice, right? Because I remember friends of mine, like you go to their house for the weekend to visit them, and it's like vodka in one drawer, whiskey in the other, and you're like, where's the food? And they're like, there's no food. Food or food or vices. Food or vices in college. Food or vices.
I mean, I feel like food's pretty important. Definitely something you need.
Yeah, this is a safe space.
Personally, my
this is a safe space.
Alcohol. Really? No kidding. I have wine stored everywhere.
Yeah, no, we're not that advanced at bartending yet.
Cheers.
Jay, what do you think you'll eat in college? Like right now, if you had to go to college tomorrow, what would be the one thing you'd want to eat every day?
Okay. surely I don't know. Probably anything that I could eat for free somehow. Somehow.
Anything she could eat for free.
Uber Eats isn't that free. Uber Eats isn't that free.
Domino's.
So, I think I'd be good with, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Hold it.
All right. Hold it. It's your turn.
We can mute that one. No, we can mute. What's that one?
Yeah. Give it to Bert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bert eats it.
It's funny. Oh man. Grilled cheese talk turned into a real like.
Wait, I think you need to ask Chrissy what she had to eat in college.
Yeah.
Chrissy, all right.
Chrissy. Wait, Chrissy, don't grab the mic. Just let Jose.
That sounds
like on a student budget.
Delicious, perfect, gourmet.
Crying.
That sounds
never
gourmet for college.
Talk so much in my life.
As
sounds delicious.
Is Evan's like trailer? Are they going away? Because I think it was very indicative, Angie, of what I've always said about the show, where it's more therapy for me. So seeing you connect to what Frankie was saying, of course it hurts to see it, but like that's the thing. Like it's just talking and really connecting with people. I think that's the beauty of the show.
Yeah.
So again, it goes back to like if you stick around for the 4 hours that this is going to be, you're going to find various moments that really go that'll eventually touch with you, you know? Eventually.
Wait. Squirrel has something to say.
Do you have something to say, Squirrel? You sure?
Keep it going, bro. I'm enjoying it.
Squirrel's having a great time tonight.
Yeah, I would agree.
Squirrel's having a great time.
Oh, wow. Wow, you guys are a bunch of traitors trying to put the squirrel down here.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you. I'll tell you.
They try to put him down, dude.
Bert, he's bought you snack packs and you're trying to put him down.
Listen. Squirrel missed a day of work. Let's just go back to this. Squirrel missed a day of work.
No, he said they're trying to put the squirrel to hibernate. Yeah.
So Squirrel missed a Friday. He missed a Friday. And Squirrel came in on Monday, first thing in the morning. And so your listeners know, I have to have a snack pack every day after lunch. Right?
Banana or chocolate?
So,
5 minutes. I promise.
I have a question, Jose. Jose, I have a question, though.
So,
banana or chocolate?
Yeah, Jose, so he brought me a 4-pack snack pack, you know? And so, like, I mean, can you say anything? Can you get mad at the guy? You know?
What is in your snack pack?
They're snack pack puddings.
Oh, pudding. All right.
They're snack pack puddings.
Oh, my God.
Pudding. Okay, pudding.
I love you, Bert.
I love you, too, Squirrel. I love you, too, buddy. So, yeah.
All right.
It's,
I'm shaking.
Why the snack pack?
Well, I don't know where it started, really. Well, I don't know. Maybe mom used to pack them for me in lunch, and so it takes me back to my childhood, I guess, maybe. You know? And it takes me, it's 5 minutes of my childhood I get back every day, right? You know? So it's kind of important to me.
Matt would always tell stories. They would have to be out working, and Mamita would.
Give Angie the mic, please.
No.
But Angie, it doesn't matter. The mic doesn't matter. Nobody. We want to hear it.
What was it, Angie? What's the question, Ed?
You would be watching your show on TV, eating your snacks, and the voice would be out, Matt.
Oh, yeah, they'd have to work. And so what Mamita would make me was, they call them huevitos sacochado. Yeah, so it's soft-boiled eggs, and she would chop them up for me. And 1860 biscuits. And so all I had to do was say, I'm hungry. And I would get held by the hand, brought in the house, and I'd get my little eggs and my 1860 biscuits, and I'm out the way.
Clearly, he was the youngest.
And all the other boys would be out raking leaves and doing shit, and I'd be watching Gilligan's Island and, you know, eating my stuff. And that used to always piss Matt off, just pissed him off to no end. But he paid me back years later. Years later, he paid me back, and, we were at the farm, and all of us spent the night, and the next morning, it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and we heard gunshots off in the distance, and my uncle came and to get us, and he says, hey, I need some volunteers to go down and help me over here at the farm. And me and Lito were sitting there, and he says, you guys look good, and Matt came around the corner, and Matt, come on, Matt goes, no, man, I got to do homework. Saturday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. And my uncle, is school? Oh, if it's school related, you're off the hook. And Matt just, I remember looking back going, 6 o'clock. And Matt just laughed and smiled. And he knew we were going to do hard duty. And he wasn't going to do any damn homework. We ended up burying 26 lambs that morning.
Wow.
And by hand. And Matt sat up in his room, probably playing Atari and, you know, screwing off and laughing the whole time that he screwed us. So, you know, he got me back. It was biscuits for schoolwork, I guess, you know.
Can we find out what Christina's favorite snack after school
hold
was?
On. Let's ask her. Because this is actually a favorite topic of hers. Christy, what's your favorite snack, honey?
No way.
Well, I didn't know she liked that many things.
I have a topic I want to bring up.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know it was about Z.
The first time that you pee the bed.
The first time or the last time?
The most recent time.
The most recent time.
And how you dealt with it, because we're currently dealing with the situation at the moment.
No, I didn't
want to hear.
No. Oh, boy.
So the first time, I can't remember. The last time was last week.
Yeah. No. Can we dive into that, please?
Well, I was kind of dreaming.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I was dreaming. I was at my uncle's house. And I could, no, I'm dreaming. I was at my uncle's house, and I could hear my cousins talking in the background. And I was standing in the bathroom like I was going to pee. And then I started peeing, and then it was like, oh, it's splashing back on me. It's splashing back on me. What the hell? And I was like, oh, okay. No, it's just my shirt. I was looking down. My shirt tail was in the way. You know, I was grabbing my shirt tail, and oh, that's what was in the way, my shirt tail. So I started to pee again. And then I was like, damn it, it's still getting all over me. And then I realized that I was in bed and that I was pissing the bed. And I got up and I jumped up and I went, oh my God, I'm pissing the bed. Christy, I'm pissing the bed. And she jumped so high out of the bed. Damn it, Jose, how old are you? This bullshit. You're going to sleep on a fucking towel tonight. This is bullshit. I'm not cleaning this shit up at this hour of night. Christy, tell them about it, honey.
Tell them about it. Speechless.
Well, you guys heard it right from her.
That was exactly what I was going to say. What is Christina's point of view of it? But Christina's she already point, answered that
no,
question.
No, she answered the question, yeah.
She already answered that question.
So you weren't drinking, or is this drinking?
This was a sober night.
That's pretty wild.
Sober night. I mean,
I'm more,
if I was drinking, it'd be easy to explain, but.
I'm more shocked that you thought it was okay to pee on your shirt and then keep peeing.
Well, I mean, you can wash the shirt easily, you know?
What?
I do have a question, though.
Is anybody
what
else?
What is your weirdest dream you have ever had?
My weirdest dream?
Weirdest dream for anyone. Question.
I think it was my weirdest. Anybody?
Anybody.
My weirdest dream was that I was peeing on my shirt tail. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably my weirdest
that's
one.
That's very weird.
Yeah.
And then you kept peeing.
Christy, what her weirdest dream was.
Christy, what's your weirdest dream, honey?
I think Ryan wants to share his weirdest dream. If that's okay.
Pretty
everybody.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy, wasn't it? Yeah.
Taylor, what was your weirdest dream that you've ever had?
I don't know if I have one, but Ryan, I keep hearing from behind me, there's a lot of chatter that Ryan has one that he really wants to share. So I'm going to pass my mic to Ryan, because he has something he wants to share.
Ooh. Good save. Wow, that was close.
That was a no. It's a no from Ryan.
No, Ryan's not going to share.
He doesn't want to relive those tragedies.
Should we ask Squirrel what his strangest dream has ever been?
Yeah, I'm actually so curious.
Squirrel.
So curious.
Squirrel. Give Squirrel the mic. Squirrel.
No, I'll tell you this. Squirrel's pretty fucked up.
You don't say.
I'll tell you this. Stefano knocked over my drink, so he refilled it or whatever. But Squirrel just said the best joke of the night, right? He saw Stefano pouring me the Seagram's. He's like, I want some of that. He's like, but I got to finish my COVID first. The Corona. That's joke of the night.
That is the joke of the night.
You know, it's funny because when we were packing, like, I told a friend, this pack light, it's only 2 days, right? She was like, you're only taking 2 pants? And I go, yeah, I'm only taking 2 pants. And she's like, what if you shit yourself? And I've been known, unfortunately, to have accidents, notoriously at the Dolphins tailgates. Actually,
wow, that's bad. Brother.
I have trouble.
I got you.
Slow sphincter speed, but
I got you. I won't let you be ashamed by yourself.
So, have you ever pooped yourself, Jay?
What?
Have you ever pooped yourself?
Pooped myself?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever pooped myself. I mean, other than probably when I was like 2 years old.
And really?
Was in diapers, but.
Wow. Okay, well, I won't share my story then because, you know.
I don't. Kind of embarrassing. I don't remember ever pooping myself.
You pooped yourself. It's fine. Safe space. Yeah.
Safe space.
No, safe space.
Seriously, I don't remember.
Yeah, she's only 11. She hasn't dealt with, you know.
Yeah, don't worry. Small glasses in here either.
Wait. Hello.
Who is that? Sebastian.
Mouse.
That's his nickname?
My wife, yeah, Francis tells him, he's like, oh, because Swamp Ass is here. And Francis goes, who? And he's like, oh, Sebastian. She's like, oh, Mouse. And he's like, no, his name is Swamp Ass. Like, there, you know. Yeah, she's like, I got it.
Perfect. Wow, that's bad. That's bad.
The male agreed, anything.
So where are we at?
I think you're about to tell a story about how you pooped yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys really want to hear that? I mean,
yeah, that's always fun.
Wait.
I mean, we were talking about your peed yourself last weekend, so
true,
might as well.
True. It's last week, like Wednesday. Yeah, so
not like even a week ago.
Well, so backstory, we had a restaurant and the restaurant had a Pepsi machine in it.
Ew.
And Alva's.
But why would you ever sell Pepsi over?
Well, I don't know. We just had it there, and that's what it was.
One's very superior.
And so, as a young man working in a restaurant,
yes,
Pepsi was, you know, it was endless Pepsi, right? You could just go there and get a Pepsi every time you wanted one. And so, I drank a lot of Pepsi. And one day, something in my body said,
no more Pepsi.
No more Pepsi. Because every time I touched a Pepsi at the Pepsi machine, it was immediately to the bathroom within half a second. And so I quit. I couldn't drink any more of the Pepsi in the restaurant. As a matter of fact, I couldn't drink a Pepsi anywhere, for that matter. So, fast forward 10 years, 15 years. I'm in my professional career. And we're going to a big meeting for a big resort down in Orlando that we just going to sign the contracts. And we're going to review everything with the owners and that kind of thing. And so we stop at Olive Garden to have lunch before we go to this meeting. The meeting's like at 1:30. We're going to stop and have lunch, and then we're going to go to the meeting. And the waitress came by, get our drink orders, and I said, I'd like a Coke. And I said, is it Coke? And she goes, yeah, it's Coke. It wasn't Coke. So anyhow, we have lunch, and we go to this meeting, and about meeting's on the third floor, this big high-rise building downtown Orlando, and we're on the second floor getting ready to go to the third floor to the meeting, and second floor, it hits me. It's bad. I'm probably not going to make it. And elevator door opens. The president of the company, the owner of the company, the CFO of the company, and the chief estimator, they all head to the meeting. And I go, guys, I got a detour. I got to go to the bathroom. I'm not going to make it. All right, well, we'll see you in there. So I'm going to the bathroom, and it happens. I don't make it, right? And it's bad. It's not just a don't make it and you get a little bit of a shard or something. No, it's bad. It's a full on blast. And so I get into the bathroom and I'm like, oh my God, I've shit myself. And I'm the estimator on the job, so like all the questions are gonna come to me, like, do you have this included, do you have that included? So I gotta get into the meeting. And so I get it. I'm in the toilet, and I pull my pants down, and it's bad. It's bad. And I'm like, okay, so, yeah, no, the undies are bad. The undies are bad. And I go, and so I go, okay, so wait a second. I can't, if I try to pull my pants off and pull the undies off, the shit's going to go everywhere. It's going to be on my pants. And the smell was horrendous. It really was bad.
Oh, my God.
And so all I could think about was, okay, if I can take the underwear off without taking my pants off, I'll be safe. And so I took my pocket knife and I cut the underwear off my leg, each leg, and I bundled everything up and I tied it up like a kid's diaper in a little knot, and I carefully took the shitty underwear and I put it behind the toilet.
Oh my God.
And I just left it there. So I wiped up, I cleaned up, and put my
green squirrel.
And I put my pants back on, and I got dressed.
Green squirrel.
And I washed up, and the problem was that everything was good. There was no, it didn't make it to my pants, so I was safe there. But the smell of the shit was on me. I knew it was on me. I could smell it on me. And so as I walked into the meeting, I went, oh my God, they can smell it too. I can smell it. They're going to smell it.
And so as I walked by
everybody, I'm trying to make eye contact with everybody to see, did they smell it? Did he smell it? Did he smell it?
Don't worry, the squirrel smelled it.
So anyway, nobody smelled it. I got through the meeting, and we go downstairs. We get in the elevator. We go downstairs, and I'm kind of chuckling as we go down the elevator. And the owner of the company, Mike Good, he says to me, he goes, "What are you chuckling about? What's so funny?" And so I had to tell him. I said, "Hey, man, you don't realize, but I just shit myself before the meeting." And he goes, "You what?" I go, "Yeah, I shit myself before the meeting." He goes, "Well, how did you recover?" And I go, "Well, I cut my underwear off with my pocket knife." And he goes, "Where'd you leave them?" And I said, "Behind the toilet." He goes, "You shit yourself and left this shitty underwear behind our client's toilet?" I go, "Yeah, man. I mean, what else was I supposed to do?" By this time, he's pissing himself so hard and laughing so hard. He goes, "We're obviously not going back to work today. You need a drink." And so we jumped in his Jeep and we all asked to a bar. And we spent the rest of the day at a bar. And about every fourth drink, he'd go, and just start laughing. He just couldn't believe what happened. We ended up signing the jobs. Oh, it was great. But,
You didn't shit yourself again.
Yeah, no.
So,
no Pepsi.
I actually. Not me. But I know someone who pooped
their
pants.
Is this your dad?
Yes, my dad. And I would like mom to tell the story because she was there.
I know the story.
Okay. So we were in Ohio, and we were driving back from Ohio down here to Florida. Nick and I were in a pickup truck, and my mom and Jay were following us in the car behind us. So we were, you know, side, right, front, and back. And we're driving down the road. We had had some car trouble, so we stopped, and we ended up going to, like, a Wendy's or a Taco Bell or something, and Nick got some food and did not sit well with his stomach. So we're driving down the road, and he just feels the rumbling, and he's like, "I got to go to the bathroom." And I'm like, "All right." So he's like 2 miles to the next exit. So we're like, "Okay." And right at that time that he sees the sign, he's like, "I'm not going to make it." And he like lifts up off the seat and like puckers his cheeks. And he just like shit himself in the driver's seat of the car driving 70 miles an hour down the interstate. So needless to say, we had to pull over to the side of the road. My mom and Jay are following behind us, completely oblivious to what just happened. And I have to run to the car behind us as Nick is seated butt naked on the side of the interstate because he has shit all down his pants. And I have to get him some clothes to clean himself off with and then get him clean clothes to put on. So I run back to the car and I'm like, "Mom, I need you to pop the trunk." And she's like, "What is going on?" And I'm like, "Nick just shit his pants."
And I was asleep for all of this, right?
Jay is completely asleep, oblivious to everything that's going on. And my mom is just looking at me bug-eyed. Like, did she just tell me that my son-in-law shit his pants on the side of the interstate? So he literally, I run back to the truck from the car carrying some clothes, and here's my husband standing with the doors of the truck open away from traffic, just head to toe butt naked, using a towel or shirt to wipe the shit off from down his legs. He had to throw the socks out, everything. He literally stripped down, took his clothes, threw them in the ditch, put clean clothes on, and we continued down the road.
Chris, what do you think about that?
That's funny.
It's funny, isn't it?
That is funny.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
The Christina
timing.
Is alive.
See, the timing.
Affirmative.
You were Oh my god. I think that's a great stopping point.
Yeah, it is a great stopping point.
Yes. Yeah. It's 3 a.m. Also.
Thank you for joining the Irreverent Show from Oso Negro. Frankie, to another 60 years.
Yes.
And great. to more celebrating to future changes and growth, you know.
It's going
to
be fun.
And to more family time together.
Okay, but I will say this. The best grilled cheese sandwich you could ever have.
Yes.
Is the one somebody else makes for you. That's what I've learned in 60 years.
Yep. My God.
They bring it to you on a plate. It's already done. You just have to eat it.
Amen to
that's
that.
That's the best grilled. I mean, if Jay made me her grilled cheese sandwich tomorrow,
no, I'd one slice of cheese.
I'd be like super happy.
One slice of cheese. Can't do it.
So we'll end with that.
Frankie, thank you once again for the beautiful end. Thank you for listening. Again, if you've stuck through this entire story, this entire weekend,
you're fucked up
in 100%. Have a good night.